Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
All right. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank God for being here today. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank God always for the opportunity to gather together and encourage one another in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I am continuing in the What Do You Believe series. But today we're going to talk about what do you believe about spiritual gifts. Amen. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this time, oh God. I thank you, dear God, that you have called us to be here today, dear God. I pray that you would direct our steps, oh God. Allow us to hear from you, oh God. Encourage our spirits and allow us to operate in what you've called us to operate. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. I was getting prepared for this. This is one of the things that God has put on my heart a lot lately, but I had a dream about a month ago, right when I first started this series, and in this dream, I was flying. So people were driving to get to places, and I was like, well, I don't need to drive no more. I can fly. So I was flying all the way we flew from here to Portland to Las Vegas, to Texas. We were just flying everywhere. Huh? Me and Chamin were flying. Yeah, we were flying everywhere. And it was pretty dope. It was like, man, so I woke up that morning like, man, if I could really fly, that would be so good. I could save money on gas, right? You could do so many different things if you could fly. But that's a gift. So as I was thinking about it, one of the greatest people that we know that actually did fly, or comics, is Superman, right? And Superman, one of his gifts where he could fly, some of his other gifts where he could stop a locomotive train, he had power, he had X-ray vision. What are some other gifts that Superman had? He was bulletproof. He was pretty much indestructible. That's right, except for his kryptonite, all right? But even in the walk with Christ, God has given us the same type of gifts. And most of our kryptonite stems from our fear. You know, God has given us spiritual gifts. We talked about one that Superman had was X-ray vision. God has given us the gift of discernment, which I feel like is pretty much the same as X-ray vision. I mean, what would Superman use X-ray vision for? To see through walls? And, you know, we don't need to see through walls. But God gives us the gift of discernment, and we can see into people's lives what's going on. So I just think it's very important that we operate in these gifts, because this is what makes the body of Christ powerful enough to impact non-believers and believers on one single instance. Amen? I look back to some of the times that the spiritual gifts were used, where somebody spoke into my life, where somebody prayed and they had a prophecy. Like, those were key moments in my life. And as I looked at them, I continue to look at them to this day and say, man, God used that person because they use their spiritual gifts to speak into my life. So when we think about spiritual gifts, we have to have these ready to go, because we don't know, one instance can change somebody's life. Amen. So one of my biggest words that I say a lot lately is impact. I constantly want to impact people. Even if they don't give their life to God, let my life impact them, so they think about it. You know, and it's not my job to save anybody. It's the Spirit of God's job. But it's our job to impact them by the Spirit of God. Amen. And we've been impacted. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let's go there. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. All right. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we look at the gospel of Christ. We have been impacted by the gospel of Christ. That was God's gift to us. Amen. And as we share that same gospel, it is going to produce the power of salvation. We had a debate with the brother on Wednesday. And this is a key thing that we have to remember. We're not ashamed of the gospel. When other people don't accept it, when people reject it, when people curse you out and all that, we are not ashamed of the gospel, because this is the only way that you can be saved. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. So if you don't believe, and that's just part of it, if you don't believe that Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you won't be saved. It's very simple. It says, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, aside from the gospel, there is no righteousness. But in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Okay? So what the gospel does, it shows, number one, our unrighteousness, our need of a Savior. But also, it shows how God, what God has given for us so that we can be made righteous. And then it says, it is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this is something that has impacted us. The gift God gave impacted us so much that we say, okay, now I heard the gospel and I want to implement this thing into my life. And now it is challenging me to grow. It is making me have to go from faith to faith. When it says faith to faith, what does that mean? There's growth even in faith, right? Dad, you've been saved for a long time. And when we talk about faith, your faith is not the same today as when you first got saved, right? We talk about being born again. You are like a child. But as your faith grows, that's when you grow up. So now look, check this out. Listen to this. The problem is a lot of people get born again and they don't grow in their faith. So now you got those same people that Paul said, hey, man, I wanted to come drop some steak on you, right? I wanted to give you some steak, but you still on Similac. You still on the bottle. You still sipping milk. I'm trying to give you something more. And see, this is the thing. If we are not growing in our faith, we're not going to get more that we want from God. How many of us want more from God? How many of us have said, okay, God, I want more from you? Whether it's in my prayer life, whether it's in my understanding of the word, whether it's in just growing in God, I want more. You had that prayer before? I want more from God. But check this out. If you're not growing in faith, you're not going to receive more. Some people think that once I get saved, God's going to give me the silver spoon. I'm going to have it made. They think they're going to have Bentley faith, right? Like, man, I got it made. But let me just give some keys. If you got kids, don't give them the first car as a Bentley. Don't do that. Why? Because they're going to hit something. They're not prepared for it, right? And it takes some people that are grown up, they still ain't prepared for it because they still ain't learned how to drive. But to be prepared for a vehicle that costs that much and a vehicle that's that that costs a lot to repair, you have to be ready. You have to drive, and you have to be a smart driver. You don't just get in the car everywhere. Oh, man, I got to go to the store. You don't even park the same places that everybody else parks when you have those cars. You find the farthest parking spot that you can park at so that nobody hits your car, right? My mom even does this right now. I was driving to Walmart, and I was like, man, is that my mom's car? And it was super far, right? And then I see her walking, and I'm like, yep, it is. Why do we do that? Because it's a valuable thing. So valuable things have to be placed somewhere else where they can remain valuable, right? So in our faith, if we want value, we have to go to a place that we haven't been to before. Amen? I want to have valuable faith. What does valuable faith look like? It looks like, okay, when I'm faced with a situation, my value in my faith will show how far I can go, right? If I have valuable faith, those little tests that might knock other people down won't knock me down, right? But see, you have to learn the value of your faith. You have to learn, okay, God has given me faith. And as we grow in faith, we need to grow in different areas. And one of the areas, especially that we're highlighting today, is the area of spiritual gifts. Amen. So one question we have to ask is, are we using our spiritual gifts? Are we using spiritual gifts? This is something that God has given the church to impact the world. But we have to say, hey, every believer, every person that believes in Christ, the spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. And he says he will give to all who ask. Amen. So we have to be saying, OK, God, that spiritual gift, I want it. This week we were in the gym and this man, he's a big guy. His name, I ain't going to say his name, but he's a big guy. He works out every day. We're in there. He's doing all kind of workouts. And one of the days this week, he was like, hey, man, I see you've been in here. You're doing good. You know, I'm like, thank you. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm in here and I'm getting ready to get married. And he's 49 years old, right? So he's like, I'm in here working out and I'm going to be shredding down in a couple of months so I can get ready for my suit. And he was like, I've never had a suit before. You know, and I was like, wow, okay. So there's a guy that we know that actually makes custom suits, and he was looking for that, so we gave it to him. So the next day, he's talking about marriage again, and me and Tamian are talking to him. And as we're talking, the Spirit of God tells me to tell him what makes a marriage really last. So he's like, yeah, I'm done with all the games, and, you know, by now she's done with all that, so we can get married, and he's excited about it. But I said, listen, the only thing that would keep a marriage is your relationship with God. Not only your relationship, but her relationship with God. And then he said, hey, man, I'm a believer too. I believe in God. I read the word. And and what happens is, even before I said that, the Spirit of God told me to tell him that. Right? And one thing that we pray while we're in the gym, we pray before and after, and we pray, God, help us to impact somebody in here today. And that's what we have to do. We have to say, God, I want to impact somebody. Amen? I don't want to be that sideline Christian who sits down and when all the trouble is going on, I'm just, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank God that wasn't me, right? We have to say, God, I want to, okay, here's a circumstance you placed in front of me. God, how can you get the glory out of this? What do I have to do to be yielded to you so that you can move in this same situation where other people are panicking? How can this moment be a life-changing moment for somebody? Amen? So that's when you have to ask yourself, are you using your spiritual gifts? First of all, in order to have spiritual gifts, we must walk in the Spirit. Okay? That's the only way to access spiritual gifts. You must walk in the Spirit. Now, we've seen plenty of people who have a word from God, right? But they don't walk in the Spirit. Now, listen, I'll tell you this. Anybody can share a word that can change your life. But you don't let anybody come up and speak over you. Okay, you guys, there's a difference between those two things. Speaking over somebody is when they're, okay, you're looking up to them. You value them. It's just like if somebody came into this church and they say, hey, I got a word from God. No, we got to check you first, right? And not check you like, oh, let's pat them down. I'm talking about spiritually, discernment. That's where it comes in. And a lot of people, there may be a God moving in their life, and he may even be saying some things to them, but sometimes that's not for everybody. That's just for them. You heard God speak. Great. Now, walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to follow God instead of following your flesh. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26, which clearly highlights walking in the Spirit. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, now I'm going to stop right there. Lust of the flesh is the opposite of walking in the Spirit. You guys see that? It's very simple. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? People always think lust is sex, right? Because that's the biggest lust that people have that we think they have. But lust is just a strong desire that will control your life if you allow it to. Amen? So there is a fleshly lust that is trying to control you to keep you from walking in the Spirit. You believers, there is a fleshly lust that is trying to keep you from walking out all that God has for you. Right? And check this out. Some of these fleshly lusts might not be a bad thing. It might be your job. I just got to get to my job, right? But when we lust after this job, we put it in the wrong position, right? We put this job higher than we put God. When you lust after something, the desire, it's almost like, man, you can't get any rest until you get this place to this place where you think it has to be like this. But God is saying, listen, don't walk in that. Walk in the Spirit. So you can walk in your Spirit at your job, right? And say, okay, I realize that God put me in this position. I don't even have the credentials to be here, but God blessed me with this. So every time I go to my job, I'm going to praise God for this job. I'm not going to worry about situations that I can't handle. I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to walk in the Spirit. If your job fires you tomorrow, some of us would lose our mind, right? Some of us, we work for ourselves. So even with working for yourself, if a deal doesn't get closed that you thought was going to get closed and you thought it was going to be the thing that made you get you over, you can either walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit. I was talking to somebody else this week and they were like, hey, this thing didn't happen that was supposed to happen and it was supposed to be a great opportunity. And I said, God allowed it not to happen for a reason, right? So instead of being upset, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and find out, okay, God, thank you, God, for keeping me from that situation. I don't even know why it didn't happen, but God, make me ready for the next situation. Make me ready. Prepare me. Prepare my heart. All right? Let's keep on reading. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Okay, so when it says against the Spirit, these things are going against each other. This is a battle, okay? And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now listen, some of you have had situations in your life where you want to do the right thing, right? You want to do the right thing, but instead of doing the right thing, you don't do the right thing because the flesh is leading you, right? The flesh is leading you because it says that you desire to do the right thing. Mara, you want to do the right thing? Yeah. But the flesh makes Mari not do the right thing. And it's that simple. And I mean, I love my kids. I love Mari. She knows that. But if we walk in the flesh, we won't do the things that we desire to do in God. It's a battle. Somebody say battle. Come on, say it like you mean it. Battle. The flesh does not want you to walk in the spirit. And the spirit does not want you to walk in the flesh. Now, this is the key. You have to choose one or the other. It's up to you to choose if you're going to walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. But God, he gave everybody. God made us robots. No, he didn't. God gives you the ability. Check this out. Paul would not be writing this in the Bible. It would be pointless to have this in the Bible if God is already going to make you walk in the spirit. He could just take this book out, right? But since it's in here, he's trying to let us know, because who is Paul writing this to? The church that is in Galatians. He's not writing this to the people in the world. Check this out. You cannot tell somebody that has not given their life to God to walk in the spirit. They don't know what you're talking about. They think it's stupid. They think you should just come and join them because they're having a great time. So they say, right? So this is to the believers, those that have accepted Christ, and he's saying, walk in the spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? So this doesn't matter how long you've been saved. This is going to be a constant thing. You could be saved for 20 years, run hard for God, and then 21 years, you're like, let me try this now. Right? Let me try this. Now you're walking in the flesh. And that's contrary to the Spirit of God. But it says this in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right? Now, a lot of people that say, I am not under the law, most of the time, they're trying to justify something they're doing wrong. Have you ever noticed that? I'm not under the law, so I can speed. You are walking in the flesh. You are not being led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God will clearly tell you, Michael, when you're driving fast, the Spirit of God will say, slow down. Right? And you'll hear it. If you don't hear the Spirit of God, the police will tell you. Right? And you can argue with the police till you blew in the face. Oh, I was speeding. I'm under the Spirit. They're going to be like, what kind of spirit? Right? He needs to be drug tested. Right? Why? Because you were in the flesh, and the flesh wants you to speed. Yeah, anybody ever put your favorite music on in the car and you just going, and then you look at the speed, whoa, I better slow down, right? That's what the flesh does to you. It gets you in your favorite song, gets you in, you're in the mood, you're feeling good, you're speeding. And the bad thing about the flesh is sometimes you don't know. And if you're led by the flesh, you won't stop speeding. But if you're led by the Spirit, you'll say, hey, I better slow down. All right? Let's look at what the works of the flesh are. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Somebody say evident. So these things are not a secret. Okay? It says, which are adultery. Now, we know what adultery is. Sleeping with somebody who you're not married to. Fornication is sleeping around before you get married. Right? Uncleanness, and I'm trying to keep my kids washing. If you don't wash your hands, you're going to get sick, right? But what is this uncleanness? This is not just about washing hands. This is a spiritual uncleanness, right? And sometimes it does manifest outside of into the natural. Lewdness. What is lewdness? Anybody know? Vulgarity. Mm-hmm. Inappropriateness, basically. Idolatry. Now, we all know what idolatry is. And I talked about this before. We have a lot of visual idolatry where people worship actual statues. But more than that, we have people that idolize even other people. Right? There's people that idolize, who's somebody that people, Tom Brady, right? There's people that idolize him. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even want to talk about that. But you got people that idolize football players, idolize basketball players. They'll do anything just to get an autograph, skip job. They'll do all kind of stuff because they idolize these people. We idolize people, places, or things. All kind of nouns we idolize. So we have to be careful. It says sorcery, which is witchcraft. Hatred. This is a work of the flesh. How many of people have hated somebody, and when you hate them, it consumes your life? Right? So what you have to do is say, God, help me with this person. You might not have got along with them. Okay, we understand. But hatred will consume you. Somebody that hates their supervisor thinks about their supervisor while they're at home. Right? They're getting ready to go to work the next day. They can't even sleep. Oh, man, I got to see that supervisor. I hate that person. Right? That's being led by the flesh. Contentions. Somebody always arguing. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. Okay? Selfish ambitions. Now, see, it clarifies ambition. Some people think ambition is a bad word. It's a good thing to have ambitions, but it's bad when it's selfish. If you're a father and all you care about is yourself, you don't care about your kids, you just care about your job, care about how you look, don't care about your spouse, that's a problem. And what it does, you'll see how it works. Let your kids touch something that you didn't tell them to, and you want to beat your kids up. That's selfish ambitions. Dissensions, and that's a person that's always trying to cause division. Heresies, somebody who makes up doctrines that are not godly. Envy, we know what envy is. That guy got that car, I'm trying to get his car. I don't need to wait for mine. Matter of fact, just give me the keys now. Thank you, sir. That's envy. And the envy, a lot of times, leads to murders. Drunkenness. We know what that is. Drunkenness. These are works of the flesh. Revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, this as I told you in times past. Check this out. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, and it's funny because I was saying this over and over this past week. But God makes it clear that if you walk in the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? But let's turn this page and look. It says, but the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, so not only do we walk in the Spirit, but now by walking in the Spirit, we should bear the fruits of the Spirit. Which the number one is love, right? Now, there's plenty of scriptures on love. We know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We also know that he says, those who love me will do as I command, will obey my commands. Amen? And we also see the scripture say, you should have love for one another. You should treat your neighbor as yourself, for out of this, all the laws are fulfilled. So love is huge. Okay, somebody say, I have to have love. This is walking in the Spirit. You walk in love. The next one is joy. Okay, now see the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness comes from a situation. Joy is something that has been given to you. You guys see the difference? Happiness comes from, oh, I got a raise on my job. Yes, I'm happy. All right? Joy will keep you when you got that raise, but the next week you get fired. Okay? That's the difference. Joy is still there. Now, you may be disappointed. Check this out. If just because you have joy doesn't mean you don't have disappointments. But when you have joy, you will not let your disappointments dictate how you're going to react. Okay? So then we got to talk about peace. Somebody say peace. The peace of God, the word of God said, let the peace of God be with you. Let it keep your mind. He will keep your mind in perfect peace. When you think about peace, I've had some interviews on the Yacht of the King radio show with a couple of people. And one man in particular, his name was, he goes by the name Z. And he would not accept Jesus in his life. He was just going and he didn't want to have Jesus in his life. But he was talking on the phone to one of his friends who had accepted Christ. And he was like, man, this guy has so much peace. Like, how did you get that peace? That's what he said. He said, I don't have any peace. And right after that, he gave his life to God. And he said, when I gave my life to God, I experienced peace I never had in my life. I was running from things. See, this is the thing. When you walk in the flesh, you don't have peace. You don't feel comfortable by yourself. You're trying to get around with other people. You're trying to figure out how to keep the party going, so to speak, right? But when you have peace with God, you're fine all alone, right? Some of us, we don't even sit still and just allow our mind to rest because there is no peace. When you can't sit still and rest if you don't have peace. Okay? So we're talking about peace. Then it says long suffering. Now, this fruit of the Spirit is one of those fruit of the Spirit's like, what in the world? Why is it there? Long suffering. Nobody wants to suffer, period. But and then it says long suffering. Guess what? That means you're going to have to wait. Right? A lot of us, we want things now. We want things now. We've expected, we've prayed and heard God tell us to do certain things, and we expected a right now answer. But sometimes you're going to suffer long. Why? Because in that long suffering, you still learn to trust God. In that long suffering, remember we were talking about earlier, you going from faith to faith. Your faith has to be tested, or it's not faith. You guys ever thought about that? You don't have faith until there's a test. You don't have a grade in school until there's a test, usually. So long suffering helps produce faith. The next one is kindness. Right? Kindness is very simple, but we have to walk in kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Somebody say faithfulness. Faithfulness is important because we have to remain faithful to God even in the midst of the battle. Faithfulness and long suffering are almost like they're connected, right? Because sometimes in that long suffering, some people, they say, man, I can't take this anymore. But if you're faithful, you're going to stay. We've been watching these Hallmark movies with the dogs, right? And man, they make movies out of everything these days. But with these dogs, the one thing about the dog, and one lady was like, man, I can't find a man that's faithful. Every time she broke up with a boyfriend, they came and gave her her dog, their dog, right? And the dog remained faithful. Now, I'm not telling us to be like dogs, but we need to remain faithful to God. Michael, you got a dog, right? Your dog loves you no matter what, right? You yell at the dog, and then 2 minutes later, dog jumping around and doing everything, wants to play, right? We have to be like that with God. Be excited just to be in his presence. Every time he comes, we're just like, we're running and we want to jump up and kiss him and whatever dogs do. Amen. Also being gentle. Gentleness is huge. Self-control. Somebody say self-control. Now, self-control is easy to say, but it's hard to activate. When you walk in the flesh, you have no self-control. I remember I was doing this Bible study with a couple of brothers, and we were reading this, and he was like, man, self-control, man, that's huge. I need that in my life, right? So this is the thing about walking in the Spirit. The self-control that you are given, you'll hear the Spirit of God say, don't do that, right? He's giving you access to self-control when he says, don't do that. But you have to grab a hold of it. Because if you don't grab a hold of self-control, you're not walking in self-control. And the Bible says this, against such the fruits of the Spirit, there is no law. So check it out. If you're walking in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, they don't have laws that go against these things. So when you saw the scripture earlier say, for those that walk in the Spirit, they are not under the law, it's because they're not doing things that are contrary to the law, because they're walking in this in the Spirit of God. Amen? This is key here. Verse 24, and those who are Christ's, who are walking in the Spirit, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay? Today, we live in a day and age where Christians get saved, quote unquote, but they do not crucify the flesh and its desires. Thus, what you have is somebody that goes to church, but they don't walk in the Spirit. They walk in the flesh because they haven't crucified the flesh. Now, check this out. The flesh has to be killed daily, right? Sometimes all day, on every day, every moment, your flesh has to be crucified. Now, let's be clear, because some people might try to crucify themselves because we have people that don't understand. But when it says crucify the flesh, it means no longer yield to your own desires. Your desires need to become God's desires. And that's what it looks like when you walk in the Spirit. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay? Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, see, even in the walking in the Spirit, sometimes we can envy other people's spiritual gifts. It's interesting that Paul put that there after he said, now walk in the Spirit. But then he says, let us not become conceited. Right? Now, we live in a day and age where you got people in church who have spiritual gifts, and now you got to pay a fee for it. Right? You got to pay a fee for it. You can't talk to them because they're the man of God. And you have to have a meeting to come approach the man. No, that's not what it's all about. They've become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now it's about, okay, I got spiritual gifts. I want to be the top dog. See, what happened is they had the gifts of the Spirit, but they begin to walk in the flesh. Now, see, you can have the gifts of the Spirit, started out walking in the Spirit, but be detoured by the lust of the flesh and still might even have access to some of the gifts. Right? Because check this out. Not only does God have gifts, this says these are things in the Spirit. The devil is a spiritual being. So everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit. Right? The devil will prophesy over people's lives. It's called a horoscope. Right? That's the easiest way you can get it. But he will even send people that look like pastors, look like ministers. They speak over your life, and it had nothing to do with God. They call it a familiar spirit. Oh, I see you had this. That's not God. That's why every time somebody speaks over your life, you don't accept it. You have to try the Spirit by the Spirit, right? Just because somebody, and I say this all the time, just because somebody says they're a Christian, I want to see it in how they live their life. And if I'm not around them long enough, I'm just going to sit and watch. I'm not here to be impressed. I can care less about all the ways you try to persuade people. People need to see people walking in the Spirit. Amen. My last book today that we're going to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're talking about spiritual gifts. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So Paul is trying to make sure you clearly understand what these are for. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now listen, when Paul says that, some people will say that if somebody says that Jesus is Lord, they have to have the Holy Spirit. No, it's a difference by meaning that, right? Jesus is my Lord and Savior. We see people at the Grammys and all these award shows, they win an award and say, I want to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? They just said it with their mouth. That if you mean it, it changes your life. When Jesus is my, people don't know what Lord means today. I remember me and my dad were doing street ministry on this street, and God asked me to ask somebody. He said, yeah, Jesus is his Lord and Savior. I said, what does Lord mean? He had no clue. None at all. And I told him, I said, when Jesus is your Lord, everything you do goes through him. You check and say, God, is this okay? If not, I don't want to do it. That's what it means when Jesus is your Lord. All right. Savior means he saved me from condemnation, from hell and myself. Hey, aren't you glad God saved you from yourself, Monica? Right. God saved you from yourself. He saved you from hell, but you were going to cause more damage to yourself than anybody, because pride is one thing God detests. And when you believe in you, that's called pride. Amen. It says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Right? And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So what do we see here? Your spiritual gift is not just for you. Okay? It's not just for your congregation. It is for the body of Christ. Got that? For the one is given the word of wisdom. Somebody say word of wisdom. Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. Through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the Spirit. All right, let's break some of these down. A word of wisdom is when you're able to see something that somebody is getting ready to go into. Okay? And God tells you, hey, you're getting ready to go through this, but, and then usually they'll give you an instruction on what you should do, right? Now, a word of knowledge is, okay, this is where you're at right now. And God wants to deal with you right here. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people get those things mixed up. But when you are operating in these gifts, what does this look like when you have a word of wisdom? It might look like this. You're walking by somebody, right? Now, first of all, you have to walk in the Spirit so this works. Because if you're not connected to the Spirit, it's not working. Okay, so you might be walking by, or you might see somebody and God puts them on your heart and you see something that they're dealing with. So you begin to pray, and okay, God, one thing I do is I speak in tongues under my breath. I don't have to do it out loud so everybody hears me. I don't go on the street corners and start speaking in tongues as loud as I can. All right? This is wisdom for some of us. Just speak under your breath. They don't even have to know. And God will tell you, okay, hey, listen, I see where you're at right now. And God would just share a word that, and what happens is they're like, how did you know that? Right? How did you know? We don't be like, oh, you know, I got skills. You know, you feel me? Now you went from walking in the spirit to walking in the flesh because you glorified yourself. Nobody in the spirit of God will glorify themselves. Okay? That's key. So if you want to know if somebody's walking in the spirit of God, if they glorify themselves, they're not walking in the spirit of God. Okay? What was the other ones? To another, faith by the same spirit. There's a gift of faith. Some people don't have the same level of faith, right? So what a gift of faith is, God has given me faith. And see, when you access your faith, you're going to say, okay, we're going to take it to another level. Okay, we might have fasted for 2 days. Somebody else's faith says, well, you need to fast for 7. Why? Because I've been tested. Remember, we talked about the test that comes with faith. The spiritual gift of faith will increase the faith that you already have and take it to another level. All right? To another, the gifts of healing. Somebody say healing. Now, does this mean everybody doesn't have the gift of healing? No, this does not mean that. But that might be their specific gift, right? They might operate higher, and we're going to see what happens after that. Then it says, to another, working of miracles, all right? To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, okay? So what does that look like? That means somebody can walk in, and my daughter, Markayla, there was a CD that I would listen to. Now, he was a Christian artist. But every time his CD came on, she was like, Daddy, I don't want to hear that. Right? And I was like, man, this is interesting. Every time I would play anything else, but every time I played that, she was like, I don't want to hear that. And it wasn't because of the sound, but she discerned something in her spirit. So what I did was I took it out the car. Right? And later on, you might find out blah, blah, blah with this artist. But what begins to happen is you see, or you might feel different. I've been in a concert before at a Christian concert, and somebody was singing, and I didn't feel right. I felt sick in my spirit. And I told my wife, I can't listen to this. I gotta go. I can't, right? And later on, you find out different things about that person that you're like, wow, okay, now I know why I felt that. But that is a gift that God gives. Amen? To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Now, see, it's great to speak in tongues, but if we all spoke in tongues in here for 30 minutes and went home and that was our church service, guess what? Nobody got edified. You might have personally been edified, but when you speak with an interpretation of the tongues, now everybody is edified. Amen? So it's important to understand, like when we did this at Victoria's Life, Mother Mullins, we would speak in tongues and Mother Mullins would get the interpretation, right? And through the interpretation, it may be a prophecy. It may be laying of hands. It may be healing. But you have to operate in these things, okay? It says, but one and the same spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, okay? I'm going to stop there because we see that God has set these gifts in place. God has Christmas already for us. The gifts are there. We have to accept the gifts and use the gifts. Amen? We need to know what gifts we operate in. Right? We got to know what gift do you operate in? I operate in a couple of these. I operate in discernment. I operate in speaking in tongues, obviously. I operate in words of knowledge and sometimes word of wisdom, sometimes even prophecy. But we have to know it and constantly walk in these gifts. Because just like people were calling for Superman to come, Superman, help me. I need help, right? I need help. Guess what? The world is calling, saying, I need help. And we are the supers that can help them. Amen? Amen. One of my favorite cartoons is The Incredibles. But there's some key lines in that thing that they're trying to do today. They said, once everybody is super, nobody is really super. And once nobody is super, nobody can help, right? The world is trying to equalify everything so that there is nobody that can help. They're trying to, the only person that they want to help is them, right? Watch the way the world is going. They're slowly getting rid of leaders. They're making you think leaders are not important. Right? Why do they do that? Because if everybody's on the same level, nobody can control anybody. And that's what the world wants. That's what the devil wants. Because when nobody's controlling anybody, people are going to do whatever they want. Right now we see Washington. There is no control of substance abuse. They've given people free. Man, there's a sign down on, I ain't going to tell people where it's at. But there's a sign on one of these streets that says, legal weed free. We'll give you your first grams for free. So we can get you hooked. So they can control you. The drug can control you. Right? Drugs control people. Drugs make people do things that they would not normally do. That is a lust of the flesh. But as we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the things of the flesh. Amen? And the key thing is walking in our gifts. God gave you a gift. You have to use it. Amen? Amen? Kayla? Amen? He's given you gifts. You have to use it because in you using your gifts, you make a difference. Dad, I know you had people that spoke into your life. Monica, do you remember somebody that spoke into your life? They were prophesying or sharing something? Michael, I know you do. Somebody that might have spoken to your life, prophesied over you. Okay, can't remember right now. Usually when this happens, these are things you don't forget. Right? And it makes you say, okay, man, I got it. I was waiting for this answer. Right? Have you ever prayed, been praying, and you couldn't get an answer, but somebody comes up to you and said, God told me to tell you that this, da 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 da, and it's the exact same thing you were praying about? That's somebody operating in their spiritual gifts. And now, by them operating in the spiritual gift, it has given you clarity on how to live your life. So we must walk in our spiritual gifts. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just pray, dear God, that number one, dear God, that you would allow us to walk in the Spirit. Dear God, that we would no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, forgive us for walking in fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Dear God, any mindset that is not of you, remove it so we can walk in the Spirit and do everything that you've called us to do. God, I even pray, dear God, for your people that hear this sermon today, dear God, that you would allow them to go to the next level, to be encouraged, oh God, to walk all you've called them to walk, dear God, to become all you called them to be. Dear God, that we will not no longer be ordinary Christians, oh God, but we will be super Christians because we walk in our giftings. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.